Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we won't be preaching too long tonight, and we enjoy coming here and doing music. And we almost didn't make it, as Emily's been under the weather the last couple weeks. She's just getting to the end of it. You know how it is when you get to the end of a cold and a flu. It's just you're feeling good, but you still got some things going on with your throat that's holding you back with your singing. But it's been a privilege to be here. And we hope that we're a blessing to you as you celebrate 13 years of this church and this wonderful church family. Music is a bit of our thing. You know, we go to different churches and provide music for special events and stuff, and we enjoy that very much. And so tonight I'm going to preach a bit about music. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about music. We have a whole entire book in the Bible that is the Jewish hymn book, the Book of Psalms. And the word psalm means to strike with an instrument, to strike strings with an instrument. You know, that's what a psalm is. So tonight we'll be looking at we're beginning here in Ephesians to talk about music and to challenge you as Christians how important music is and how music has an effect on our life and how wonderful music can be in a church when it's not destroyed and it's used properly. So Ephesians chapter 5, you know, the whole context of the scripture here is the will of God. All the way from, you know, when young people come to us and young people say, you know, what's the will of God for my life? I say, well, are you going to church? Are you reading your Bible? And are you obeying your parents? Obeying your parents is the will of God. They say, no, that's not what I mean. Like, will I be a missionary someday or will I be a preacher someday? It's like, well, if you go to church, you read your Bible, and you obey your parents, the Lord will lead you along and show you His will. And that's kind of what this whole scripture is talking about. So it's talking about how Christians should not drink, how we should walk with the Lord, how Christians ought to give thanks, how children ought to obey their parents. And then it talks a little bit about music here, where it says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we ought to be singing Christians, Christians who are singing all the time and singing the right music. And, you know, Joel and I, with playing music and growing up and playing guitar, we have people that we know in our life, and they are not living a godly life at all. And some of them are even really close to me or family, and they profess to be Christians. And when young people go to youth group, and their youth leader stresses to them, you know, you have to have the right friends, and you have to have the right music, because those two things alone will steal your heart from the Lord and can steal the heart of a church, the wrong music. So if a young person comes and you're to say to a young person, you know, you should not do cocaine, you should not do heroin, you say this to a 14-year-old. If you go to a 14-year-old and say, I think that you should not be dealing drugs, the 14-year-old is going to be looking at you like, I'm only 14. I don't deal drugs. But you could say, what kind of music are you listening to? And what kind of people are you hanging out with? And if they were to tell you, I'm listening to very worldly rock and roll music or whatever the popular genre is today, and I'm hanging out with bad people, then you're going to say to them, there's a good chance that if you would keep heading down this road, you could end up in that situation. And people be like, well, no, that's just too serious. But we've seen this happen, Joel and I. We've seen people who started off and they seemed like good people, but they were listening to the wrong music, and it leads to so many damaging things. And we have to be careful as Christians that we have the right music. Music is a beautiful thing, and music was created by God. So as Christians, we come together to church, and we get together, and we're so glad to see one another, and we come, and we sit in the pew, and the psalm leader gets up, and we sing songs that we know so well. You know, why do we sing in church? Has singing in church just become a routine? Is it something we do just to fill time? Is it something to make the church more exciting? Well, no, music's much more than that. It is a gift from God to you to help your heart and to open your heart for the message of God's Word. You know, as we sing our hymns, you know, what can wash away my sins? nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's saying victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. We hear these songs, or blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. These songs are supposed to help us, to prepare us for the Lord and for His Word. You can turn now to Psalm 147. We'll be looking at different passages this evening. You know, generally when I preach, I just like to stay in one passage and go line upon line and preach the Word of God. But since we're on a topic this evening, we'll be looking at a couple of different passages. So Psalm 147, verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." And I'll quote for you Psalm 50, verse 23, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God." The words praise, singing, and music appear in the Bible 575 times. And reference to music are found in 44 of the 66 books of the Bible. And as I said before, the book of Psalms is the Jewish hymn book, or is a Jewish hymn book. In verse 5 there of 147, Psalm 147 says, "Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite." And that verse, I love that verse, and it amazes me there how it says, His understanding is infinite. God is the Almighty God, the creator of this universe, and the creator of things that we don't know about. There is so much in this world that we have not a clue about. We don't know about. There could be a form of energy out there that could provide hydro for this building, and it's out there somewhere. We don't know. God knows. Another thing is that Satan, God is the Almighty God, has created all these things, but Satan has not created one thing. Satan is a thief, and Satan is a liar. And I know that Satan is a thief because Satan has stolen music from the people, from the Lord, and from Christians, and has just transformed it and has changed it and has made it unacceptable for the church. So it's proof that Satan has never created anything in this world, but yet he steals things. He steals things all the time, and he desires to steal the church. He desires to steal men and women from his church and to bring them into the world and have them with other things. So the Bible here says, "Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite." God's understanding and God's knowledge is infinite, and there's no end to God's knowledge. Could you imagine, man, that we go to school and we learn more and more and more all the time? And there's God in heaven, and God has this level of education. And as men go through the years, all of a sudden men get to this level of education. Does God look down from heaven and say, "Mankind is getting close to my level of education. I better go back to school and stay on top of man"? No, that's not it at all. God's knowledge is infinite. That is so hard to understand. But yet it's so simple. There's no end to what God knows. God is just, it's amazing. And music is a proof that God has infinite understanding, and that God creates things that are eternal and things that are everlasting and things that have no end. There is no end to music because God made music. In the iTunes store, this could have changed since the time I looked it up, but in the iTunes store contains 28 million different songs. The Grace Note database, which is kind of like a place where you put songs for copyright issues, the Grace Note database contains 130 million different songs. And if you were to listen to every song, one after the other, on a giant playlist on your device, it would take you 1,200 years to complete if you listen to all those songs. Now, those are songs that are registered in the Grace Note database, 130 million different songs, different melodies. Now, if you were to go to the iTunes store, like I said before, the iTunes store, there's 28 million different songs. So if you were to go to the iTunes store, I mean, there's many different versions of Amazing Grace, but it's the same melody. But there's that many different melodies. So
There are over, just in a short span of music, there are over 79 billion different combinations that you could have if you were to write a song. You have 79 billion different combinations that you can go by. But the truth is that there's actually more than 79 billion different combinations that you can go by to write music. So there are 79 billion different combinations. So then, if you took 100 songwriters writing one new melody each second, it would take 248 years to get to 79 billion different songs. But there's more than 79 billion different songs you can go by. But yet, with that in mind, there are so many songs that sound the same. And you may have a favorite musician you like to listen to, or favorite artist, or favorite style or genre of music. For me, I like acoustic music. You know, I like mountain music or bluegrass music or that style. And people say, that sounds all the same. And you're kind of right. It does sound kind of all the same. But you could say that about a lot of different kinds of music. If you're listening to classical music over and over again, it all sounds the same. I mean, we all know when Jaws is going to show up. We all know when the bad guy is going to go through the door. It all sounds the same. If you're listening to quartet music, after a while it all sounds the same, even though there are different keys and different melodies. It's just, why is it that it all sounds the same? Or why is it that we can't just keep producing new music and new music? And we are, but at the same time we go back and we keep producing the same music, or music that sounds very similar to each other. The reason for this is because in verse 7 there, in 147, how it says, His understanding is infinite. There's no end to God's understanding. Well, there's a limit to what mankind can do. There's a limit. So we always go back to what we're familiar with. How many of you like home? You like home. You like going home. You like going to your house. You like going to your chair. You like going to your coffee maker, your coffee cup, your bathroom, your bed, because it's home, because it's you're familiar with it. Well, the same thing with music. We like, as people, we like to do things that are familiar. We like to go home. So we have music. We go back to what we're familiar with. So with that, there are so many songs that sound the same. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Baba, Black Sheep, and ABC all have the same melody. Love Me Tender by Elvis Presley. Apparently, my mom said he's a good artist. I don't know who he is. Elvis Presley. Love Me Tender by Elvis Presley has the same melody as an old Civil War song made with the golden hair. The same melody. And he didn't get in trouble for it. So many songs have been written on the same chord progression. So even with Emily's music that we've been doing, some of her songs are the chord progression's very close. And they're about, they say, I forget what the chord progression is, but there are over 400 songs written with the same chord progression, the same four chords and the same beats in between the chords. 400 different melodies on top of that chord progression. So that's why certain genres start sounding the same after a while when you listen to them over and over again. Why is that? It's because we have limitations as people. But God, there is no limit to what God can do. So we can honor God with our music. We must honor God with our music as Christians. Music was given to us by God, and we in return give that music back to Him. Imagine God, once you were an enemy to Christ, you were an enemy to God. Imagine your pastor, at one point in his life, he was an enemy. He was not saved. And then he was saved. He was quickened. He was made alive, born again. Same with you. And now you're a child of God. So there's God up in heaven. He looks down at this church. And He sees us singing for Him. We say, there are people who were once lost, and now they are singing about Me and offering praises to Me. And He must be so happy to hear that, to have His ear low to earth and to hear us sing. And it's just an amazing thing that once we were the opposite, and now we are singing. So music is just a wonderful blessing from the Lord. It gives God pleasure. It gives us pleasure. And it is a wonderful thing that God would do that for us. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. I can go in for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice. I can lift up my voice. I can sing, and I can go in. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There are just some phrases from some songs that I just put all together, and just amazing lyrics there. And to put some melody behind that, and it stirs our hearts and our spirits so that we would think about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. You know, with music, what it says here in Ephesians, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, a good guideline to go by for music is that the melody in music, in Christian music, must be dominant. It must be the dominant force. Whereas worldly music, music that pleases the flesh, oftentimes the beat is dominant, that stirs the flesh. So how many times, you know, studying history and war and those things, when a company was to go into war, they weren't having a bunch of violinists there or pianos. They had a drum. They had a beat, getting the flesh going for battle. But yet, when the temple and the tabernacle were built and they ordered musicians to come, there were cymbals in the background, but the main thrust was the strings and the voices that could produce a melody. Drums cannot produce a melody. And as to why we don't have them in church, you know, we must have an instrument that produces a melody and that will help us to understand and what the melody is saying. So the second point is singing instructs us. Singing teaches us. You know, singing is a method, a great method to teaching and motivating. Many bands have written songs to support political parties and still today. Doctors and therapists of all kinds have used music in their therapy. Music is used in advertisement. I remember the old Chevrolet commercials. You know, we watch Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday night, and the Chevy, the Silverados always had their advertisement, and it was like a rock. They don't use that anymore, but now my mind is, that's a Silverado. That truck is a rock. Now, it's actually not, and if you were wise, you would buy a... We'll just leave it. But you know what that song did? And you're thinking the same thing when I said that Chevrolet had a song, and many of you nod your head, yes, we know that song, Like a Rock. You know, that's what that truck was beat. And we will do that with music, and advertising will do that with music. But it's important to understand that music can teach us so many things. And sometimes we're not even aware of that. Music can teach us biblical principles. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. That is an amazing song. That is a little child's song. But think how powerful that song is. And what is that song teaching us and teaching children? Jesus loves all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white. That song teaches us that we ought to be excited about missions. That song also teaches us that racism is wrong and God is not racist. That song teaches us so much, and yet it's just a little child song. But yet, how powerful is it? Then another one, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. We do this in junior church all the time. You know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Like, that is so simple, but how true is that? You don't read your Bible, you're going to shrink. If you don't eat your meals, you're eventually going to just die. If you don't drink water, you're going to die. If you don't read your Bible, you don't pray as a Christian, you're going to be in some serious trouble. But if you read your Bible every day and you pray every day, even though the trials will come, you'll still be a strong Christian and endure these things. But just a simple song like that can teach us so many things. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free, Spirit divine. Can music replace preaching? No. I love music. I enjoy playing music. You know, I go home and I'll go in my room and play guitar or play banjo or just listen to music. You know, Joel will come over and Emily's an excellent piano player, and we'll play, and our kids are learning the fiddle, and we'll just play music. We love music. You know, I've been working on a playlist on my iPhone for long drives, you know, just trying to mix things up and say, well, we don't really care about your iPhone or your playlist, but I'm just trying to say that I enjoy music. But what I enjoy the most about coming to church is, well, fellowship with the brethren. And usually in a Baptist church, there's food, the music, but the preaching. And I enjoy coming here to preach to you today, and I hope we're a blessing. But there's nothing like coming to church and hearing your pastor preach. Hearing, and I'm saying that as thinking my pastor, and I think you think of your pastor, but you go to church and you hear what your pastor is going to preach, to hear what the Lord has given your pastor to preach, and to come to church and to hear the Word of God preached. There's nothing like it. Preaching is a wonderful thing, and preaching is ordained by God. And in the Bible, we see people getting saved after the preacher spoke, not after the musician. And sometimes churches are getting that wrong. And we need to have the music as it leads and directs our heart to the preacher, and the preacher gets up and preaches, and people respond to the message of God's Word. Next point is, singing encourages us. So many times we're down, and we can find a promise in Scripture. You know, Bible memory is so important. As we go through something, and we're, all of a sudden you get a phone call. Just one phone call can just ruin your day. And all of a sudden you have Scripture memorized. And you know what? The Lord has given me this promise. I'm going to trust in Him. Well, music, godly music, can do the same thing. If you're all of a sudden the phone rings and it's a bad phone call and you're just, it's terrible news, you can claim a promise of God through music. A songwriter has understood a promise and has written a song, and we sing the song. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Sometimes people struggle with eternal security, and they can say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So we can use that to encourage us to claim a promise. In Samuel, King Saul was going through some difficulties. An evil spirit came upon him, and he called for David to come and to play his harp. And then it says that his soul was refreshed for that moment, but he didn't get right with God, and then it continued on. So music can encourage us. Encourage us how? The victory in Jesus Christ. Another good way to understand good godly music is that good godly music will always sing and declare the victory in Jesus Christ. The first congregational song in the Bible that we know of is when the nation of Egypt crossed over the Red Sea. They were delivered out of the bondage of Pharaoh, and they came up to the Red Sea, and they had nowhere to go. So Moses stepped out in faith, divided the sea, and they went across. And as soon as they came across and realized that the sea collapsed and Pharaoh's army was stopped, they broke into a song. And so you could say it's the first congregational song that we know of. They broke into a song about the victory that God has done for them. And you and I, we were once enslaved to the world. We were once enslaved to sin. And we had no way out. And then Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ died on the cross, and by His blood our sins were washed away. And now we have crossed over, and now we sing about the victory, because we've been delivered out of bondage, just like the nation of Israel is delivered. We've been delivered. And now we are children of God. And we have a home in heaven. And so we sing about that. And so we always should sing about the victory in Jesus Christ. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Victory in Jesus. Also, the power of God. He is able. He is able. I know He is able. Also, the relationship that we have in Christ. Our music will encourage us in the relationship we have in Christ. In the world, as we listen to music, when you listen to, now things have changed, and I'm 30 years old, and I had older brothers growing up, and rock and roll, there was a certain genre of rock and roll that was very popular when I was small, and they were teenagers. Now that seems to be leaving, and we have a new style coming, but what I'm going to say is, with country music, it seems like you lose everything. The blues, well, it's depressing. It's the blues. And then with modern music, or hip-hop or rock and roll, it's all about humanism or rebellion. Do it my way. And people, and because of that, people completely misunderstand how wonderful authority is and how wonderful submission is. And our young people have been taught that authority, people who want to have authority over you or want you to submit to them, people have been taught that that's wrong, but that is so against the Bible. Authority is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. So if you're a child or a teenager and you have mom and dad who are the head of the home, and mom and dad say to you, you can do this and you can't do that, and a teenager says in his mind, you can't tell me what to do. Well, that is the most foolish thing in the world, because they know what they're talking about and they are protecting you from the evilness of this world. People think authority is this power thing, but no, it's protection. Mom and dad are protecting you. They're saying, no, this is the hedge, this is the space you get to live in until you understand, and until you're a man and you have to make decisions. The authority is just a wonderful thing that protects us and that keeps us from stepping out into danger. And God has given other people in lives authority. And we need to understand that. But as music comes in, it teaches us these things that are wrong. And so we have to understand that when we pick music, people say, I listen to this kind of music, I listen to that kind of music. And as Christians, we have to be careful what kind of music that we are listening to and what kind of music that we allow in our home. And I'll admit, I'm not up here saying that I'm Mr. Perfect when it comes to music, and that I am not tempted by any worldly music at all, because that would be a lie. There are certain types of music that I enjoy in the flesh, but I am not going to listen to them because it will lead to where I don't even know where it will lead. I'm scared to even think of where it will lead. And I think we would all agree with that. You know, some of us in this room, we may enjoy country. Some of us in this room, we may enjoy rock and roll. You know, my mom, she listened to what they called easy listening. So she listened to, before she was saved, she listened to things like Celine Dion and Whitney Houston. I'm not promoting these people at all, but they're like, oh, they're great singers. Yeah, they're pretty talented for sure, but you ever listen to what they're singing about? You know, being with other people who are not your spouses, which is against the word of God. And we go, well, it's not bad, it's not rock and roll, but we have to be careful as Christians. The Bible says that we ought to walk circumspectly, that we have to walk in a circle, making sure that we're not attacked from Satan from all angles. So singing encourages us, but we must protect that. We must have songs, Christian songs, that sing about the victory of Jesus Christ. Singing that encourages us and understanding our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the last point, and we'll be done, is singing prepares us. How many of you will, you know, have to sing out loud, or, you know, I try not to sing out loud too often because I'm not one to sing this way. I'm one to sing this way. But when you open your Bible in the morning, you have morning devotions. You know, you can start off your morning devotions by just humming a song in your head, perhaps your favorite hymn. Or a good Christian song that you know. And you can sing that song before you begin your morning devotions, or sing it after your morning devotions, just to prepare your heart and to get it ready for what the Lord's going to bring you that day, to get our attention, to prepare our hearts. When you come to church, you may come to church next week and your spirit may be down. You can come to church and you may not feel like singing. But if you get into the hymn book and begin singing, the Lord can begin to work in your heart, and you'll be ready for the preaching of God's word and ready to hear it and to respond to it. So singing prepares us. So singing prepares us. Singing encourages us. It teaches us. And then we must have music. Singing honors God, Christ-honoring music. And I hope that this is a challenge to you. And perhaps you're at home and you have some music in your home that should not be in your home. You know, you're raising a family, or you're just on your own, whatever it may be. That can be a hindrance more than you realize. And we need to make sure that we have good music in our home. So I'll close in prayer. And Pastor, come up and close the service.